at First Open Bible, and I'm thankful you're here this morning. God's Spirit is incredible. His presence is amazing. Amen? Amen. This evening, we have a praise and worship night. I want to invite everybody out. If you have never been to one before, they're incredible. We sit and we pray, and I ask a few people to come up and share what's on their heart this month. The theme is hope, and we're going to be talking about God's great hope, and we'll be singing and worshiping, and you can just get in God's presence for an hour and a half before you start your week. It's an incredible time together. God told me last year that the beginning of every month, you need to start it just like in the book of Psalms. You come to God with thanksgiving and praise first. And so that's what we've done. The very first Sunday, unless there's a holiday, we have thanksgiving and praise. We have worship on Sunday nights at 6:30. So please feel free to come out. Well, here we are, church. Amen. You feeling good? Feel the presence of God? Amen. God told me to go to the back while we're worshiping. And I want to encourage you. Many of you got into the Spirit. But sometimes get discouraged, but a lot of times it has to do with us. That was a great opportunity to press into the presence of God, but I know a lot of people were distracted. You know, your phone is a blessing, but it can be a huge distraction. Amen? Remember I said a couple weeks ago, put it in Holy Ghost airplane mode. Amen? No, if somebody going to die, guess what? The Spirit of God that's inside of you is the same that rose Jesus from the dead. So just go and say, an hour and a half I'm spending with God, and then if you're dead, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to come back to life at around 12:30 when I get my phone back on and off of airplane mode. Amen? Amen. 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 But God loves you so much, and He has an awesome message for you today. It's the second week of Advent. The series that we're going through is called God With Us. I'm so thankful that God is not up in the stars somewhere, up in the heavens looking down and just like, you know what, they'll figure it out. I'm thankful that God is with us. Amen? See, when God is with us, what does it bring? It brings us love. Amen? Here at First Open Bible, every Advent season, we like to provide each family with an Advent family devotional. If you weren't here last week, we handed them out in service, but we're not going to hand that out today. Feel free to come as you or feel free as you go to grab one. They're on the information center, one per family. I got about 30, 35 more left. So if you didn't grab one, go ahead and do that. See, what's special about this is this devotional has 7 days of short devos. And like I said last week, I'm not the greatest reader, so I'm thankful it's about a page, page and a half. Glory to God. And God is so good to me, they're even in big letters. Hallelujah. See, this is great. And for you that need glasses, you can get even not as close as you normally do and still read it. Hallelujah. But each day there is a devo that goes along with what God has preached this morning. So last week I preached on hope, and we started that night and the next 6 days on hope. And it goes along with what has been preached, goes along with some of the scriptures that we have. So we have the same thing for you today. And please don't get ahead. I want us all to read in unity. Amen. So then Sunday, December 23rd, we're going to have two more, and then you're going to have one on Christmas Day. So it's really good to have that. If you have yours with you, please don't open it up. We're not doing that right now. That's for you and at home and to read it to your family. Amen? And if you're like, hey, I'm single, that's great. You might have a neighbor. Bring them over. Read it with them. Why not? Amen? Amen. So for the ones that have the devos, have you been enjoying them? If you have, say yes.
Yes.
If you love them, say glory to God.
Awesome,
awesome. So tonight, church, if you have them, you're on day 8 on page 32, okay? There you go. There's your homework. Starts tonight, goes for the next 7 days, read it Sunday morning, then come on in. Because you can have church before church, amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. We don't want any people in here that are just dying for God's word. You should have been eating God's word all week, right? Right? This should be like a confirmation, like some dessert with no calories. Is there such thing? Yeah, I think that's celery and an ice cube, I think, or something. Put some Splenda on it. Something, I don't know. Well, here we are, the second Sunday of Advent, God with us. And this morning, we celebrate love. Everyone say love.
Love.
See, when Jesus came into the world as a baby, He was the human embodiment and the gift of God's love. Can you believe that? Can you believe that Jesus came, Emmanuel came, and he came for one great purpose? Do you know what that was? 2,000 years ago, to die on a cross for our sins, to be raised, to show us what love is. Jesus came into the world as a baby. He was the exact human embodiment of God's great love. And when he came as Emmanuel, God with us, he came as God incarnate. He came as love incarnate. So if you were with us last week, or Advent is unfamiliar to you, let me briefly explain the journey that we take towards Christmas every year. See, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. See, it's a season that links the past, present, and the future together. Advent looks back in celebration for the hope that was fulfilled in the Lamb of God. Amen? In Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. But at the same time, it looks forward in hopeful awaiting for the soon and coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. Did you know he's coming, church? Right? God is the greatest re-gift giver. He is, right? He's got that white elephant gift down. He knows how to re-gift things. He's re-gifting us the greatest gift we've ever received. Amen? It's coming on a cloud, fire in his eyes. See, during Advent each week, we focus on a different attribute of God. Each one represents the coming of Jesus. You have hope, last week, love, now, joy, and peace. Who loves a good love story? Raise your hand. All right, every guy better raise your hand. Because guess what? In every guy movie, there's a love story. You just pretend there's not, right? Just because somebody got shot up and heads cut off and stuff, it's not like he doesn't go and get the girl. You know what I'm saying? It's true. Right now, what is the most popular channel on TV? Hallmark. Thank you. Exactly. Hallmark. And it is always a surprise how it ends, right? Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. See, my wife's not here this morning, so I can kind of tease about Hallmark. She loves Hallmark. And I'm always like, oh, we're watching this. And then it gets to the end. It's like, oh, I think I'm going to turn it off and watch it tomorrow. I'm like, no, you have to see how it ends. Even though we know, but I always get sucked in. Just be honest. See, there's so many different kinds of love stories. So if you start with the stories that we know in our time, and then you scroll back through history, think of all the novels, the poems, the plays, the epics, the oral narratives. The list goes on and on and on about love, doesn't it? Think about all those things that you read in history. Think about a book that we read that was written in history. Love, 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 love. See, throughout history, humans have been inspired. They've been moved. They've been confused, right? Intrigued and even motivated by love. In the midst, we've been trying to figure this whole love thing out, haven't we? This says something about humans. That everyone, will you say everyone? Everyone desires love. Everyone. So maybe, just maybe, our origins, the deepest longings, have something to do with God. Why do I say that? Maybe the love of God is woven through our very creation, our very existence, maybe our very being. Because why? The Bible teaches us that God is love. Love, yeah. Bill, you got to say that again. Because God is love. Come on now. Just Bill on this. I got to get this in the mic. There's no way I can go. You hear me every morning. They put bass on here just so I don't sound like I'm a teenager. So God is
love.
Come on, baby. Thanks, Shaq. Woo. Thanks, Barry. Manilow. All right. I like that. Oh, Barry White. My bad. You can be Barry Manilow, too. See, God is love, church. Amen. See, I told you that. Love is, what did I say? It is inspiring, moved, and confusing. See, I just got confused. I got all worked up with that love. Did you know that every life is a love story? Every life is a love story. How about this love story for a second? Have you ever thought about the story of Mary and Joseph as a love story? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, sure, you know the Christmas story, right? You know Jesus. You probably heard it many times before, how Joseph and Mary and their whole journey, running and born in a manger and all the things. But have you ever thought about their relationship as a love story? Think about it. Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, a love story. Really? Yes, absolutely. So I want to read you a story this morning. Can I read you their love story this morning? Amen. Amen. Will you lower the lights real quick? I want to read a story to you. Okay? I'm going to sit down for this. All right, I'm going to set the stage first. All right? We have to remember that Jewish marriages and their customs of the day were quite different than ours today. They all followed a clear and defined legal guidelines. This is how it happened. If you wanted to get married in those days, it had three stages. Number one, the contract. Number two, the consummation. And number three, the celebration. Okay? So first, the girl's father, I'm setting the stage here, and the young man would come together and propose and arrange the marriage. A cash price, like a dowry, would be set so the young man would pay to the girl's family, maybe with some gifts, but this is a contract. It's called a ketubah. And it would be signed. It's at that moment, church, at that moment, the young man and the girl were married 100%. He was her husband, and she was his wife. It's then the couple would get to know each other, more like a dating stage that we're used to. The girl would live with her family, and at some point in the future, maybe a year, maybe multiple years, it all depended on the bride's age and or the factors of the families. The young man would lead a procession of his friends to the girl's house, where she'd be waiting with a group of her friends. And while everyone waited in the house, the couple would consummate their marriage. This is stage two. The marriage was called a chuppah. And then everyone would go together and have a marriage feast, a celebration as the final stage of the marriage process. See, this is much different than ours, amen? Right? It's much different than what we're used to, and it probably sounds quite awkward. Can I get an amen? Amen. Did you hear the two friends group come into the house? You heard that part, right? And they're probably also thinking, this is so unromantic. Maybe it was, but not so fast. Just because the culture and the traditions of those ancient days look different doesn't mean that there wasn't deep love flowing between these couples and possibly even great romance. Okay, so the stage is set. Amen? Here's a little background. Now you know where we're at. Now please use your imagination with me while I tell you a story about maybe just what happened with Mary and Joseph. And the story went a little bit like this. So we're back in ancient Israel. These are dusty and dirty and hot days. And they're under the rule of the Roman Empire. So in a small village called Nazareth lived a carpenter named Joseph. He had a noble ancestry. He's distinctly related to King David himself. But he lives a humble life working with his hands as a tradesman. Joseph had established himself as an honorable and fairly successful craftsman in town. He made himself a pretty eligible bachelor. He's probably in his lower 20s at this time, and he was ready to get married and establish his own family. A younger teenager named Mary was certainly younger than Joseph, but at that age and at that time, she was definitely marriageable. For Mary, the options and the opportunities of her life's path would have depended greatly on her marriage and the family life that she would soon have. Mary and her family, they know who Joseph was. He was still fairly young, he was rugged, and he was strong. From the little bits we're told in the Bible, Joseph, he was even killed, confident, and he was kind. Mary says to her father, "Father, do you know Joseph the carpenter?" Then Mary's mother suggests to her husband, "That Joseph, he's a good man. He's kind and he's honorable. He would make a good husband for our sweet Mary." Joseph would have known the young girls in the village. Why? Because their fathers are his customers. He would have built furniture for their homes. He would have crafted yokes, plows, and shovels for their farms. Or maybe even wheels for their carts. So Joseph would listen as they talked about their families. He knew who was kind. He knew who was fair in business. He knew who had a good family. And he knew about their social life. There were several young local girls and families that had their eye on Joseph as marriage material. Church, human hearts and emotions have been the same throughout history. Amen. So eventually what happens is this young couple gets married. The contract, remember? They're bound to each other for life. And their hearts stirring and their future uncertain, just like the rest of us. They could have no way of knowing what they would truly face together in the journey of husband and wife. But the excitement and the nerves must have filled them with great expectancy. They said, "What are we getting into? Who exactly is this person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with?" Joseph loved Mary. He frequently carved small wooden gifts for his new wife. And Mary loved Joseph. She loved to watch Joseph work, shaping and creating in his workshop, and they talked and they laughed and they shared moments together. Mary would even bake and bring him special breads and cakes that she knew were his favorites. At every great Jewish celebration and religious feast, Mary and Joseph would join each other's families for meals. They shared life together. They shared life in the daily twists and the daily turns. As each day passed, this young couple learned more about each other that made each other laugh and how they handled challenges and even how they handled hard days. They learned about each other's strengths and their personalities, their imperfections, their failures, and their hopes and their fears, and even their dreams for the future. They even talked about how many children they hoped to have one day. They were both excited about this kind of home that Joseph was going to build for his wife and for their family. So each day that passed, Mary and Joseph chose love. And that love continued to deepen and grow. Until one day. The day that Mary's emotional bombshell came. "Joseph, sweetheart, I know this sounds crazy, but this angel visited me and told me I'm going to have a baby. And the angel said his name was to be Jesus, and he'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. He's the Messiah, Joseph. You have to believe me. It's a miracle. It's true. It's true. Because I'm pregnant." Joseph says, "How could you do this to me, Mary? I thought you loved me. I thought you loved me like I love you. I thought you loved this relationship. We've been doing this all the right way, honoring God and our families and each other. And now this?" If you've ever experienced a betrayal of adultery, church, or been close to someone who has, you know the devastation of betrayal. You know the pain is crushing. So Joseph, now with complete broken trust, he has unbearable heartbreak. He has sleepless nights. His mind is exhausted about the thoughts of why? Why was I not enough for Mary? And his eyes, their love story is now ruined. See, Joseph tried to listen to Mary. An angel? A miracle? The Messiah? But all he could focus on was the weight of the word pregnant. Everybody knows there's only one way to get pregnant. And Joseph knew, even that person knows. And Joseph knew he had not been involved. That second step in their marriage relationship had not took place yet. That's why he was so hurt. See, this was all too much for Joseph. We don't know what happened behind closed doors, but maybe he walked away in silence, broken and speechless. Or maybe he shouted and he yelled and sent Mary away in tears. How can you do this to me? Don't you love me? See, what we do know is things did not go smoothly. See, whatever happened behind those closed doors, it caused Mary to go and spend 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth away in a village. It's a hill country of Judea. Maybe these 3 months, maybe, would be long enough for Mary's family to figure out what to do or how people would ever believe this story from Mary. How could they ever believe this? Maybe this separation of 3 months would give Joseph time to accept it. So the lovers parted with pain, with anger, and disgust swirling in and around them. And the young Mary was clinging desperately to be encouraged by the words of the angel and the knowledge deep inside of her soul that for whatever reason, no matter how ridiculous it sounded or how miraculous it really was, God's very Son had sprung to life within her. See, somehow God must make a way. Amen? Okay, you can bring the lights back up. See, every powerful love story, church, has a crisis. But sadly, some love stories are destroyed by crisis, and they never overcome them. So Mary and Joseph have a real, true, human love story. But what's awesome about that is they also have a supernatural love story. It involves you. It involves me. It involves every human who was and is to come, has ever walked this earth. So how does their love story affect you and me? How can we experience the supernatural of love of God with us through this Advent season and beyond? Well, first of all, it's this. God is love. That's number one. God is love. So just like any good story and just like any good reporters or anybody else, we got to see the story behind the story, right? So let's pan back from this heartache for a moment. Drifting out from a dusty Galilean village, seeing a wider and wider vision of the ancient landscape and the geographical forms we now recognize as continents and oceans. Then we keep going further and further, and we get this blue ball called Earth. Still further beyond in our solar system to the Milky Way galaxy. And somehow wider still, even through the limits of the universe in space and light and time themselves. Until finally, somewhere beyond the limits of physics that bind our creation, there's only one presence. A supernatural, infinite presence. And it's there. Church, it's actually everywhere. It's love. See, where there is love, there is God. And where there is God, there is love. How do I know that? See, the Apostle John says it this way in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. See, this is the nature of God. Love in its purest form. Love is always there. Love is in Mary and Joseph's story. Guess what? Love is in your story. So in Mary and Joseph's story, love was taking form of humanity in the Messiah, Jesus. See, love is God with us. And love would be with Mary and Joseph to care for them and provide everything they would need. Think about your life for a moment. Where does love need to intervene? Where does love need to just step in a new way? See, love will be with Mary and Joseph and care for them and provide for them in all that they need. So number two is this: God gives love. When Mary left on her journey to live with her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months, can you imagine that that journey was not easy, right? They didn't have a vehicle. She most likely walked. She didn't have New Balance or Nikes. She had some dirty old sandals, I'm sure. The walk would have been long. It would have been hot. And the road must have been very lonely. And the miles must have echoed in her brain with the pain and the hurt in Joseph's eyes. And the words that he said or the words that he didn't say. Mary knew the truth. But how could anyone else know the truth and see it? So what was going to happen to Mary? As soon as Mary arrived, she was greeted with love. In Luke chapter 1, verses 42 through 45, says this: Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed." Think about how heartbroken she is, church. "Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greetings, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." You know who that is, right? Who's that? John the Baptist. "You are blessed because," that's verse 45, "you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Immediately, Elizabeth confirmed to Mary that love was here. The power of words, church. Power of words. That God was here and that everything was going to be all right. Mary's response back to Elizabeth was pretty much overwhelming. She says in the next two verses, Luke 1, 46, 47, and 48. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of my lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Here's the test of every good love story, church. Here's the test of your life. Is love enough? Is love strong enough? Is love deep enough? Is love true enough to handle anything? Can it handle the trivial and the annoying? Can it handle the catastrophic and the crushing? Yes. Church, love can. And as our shirts say this year, love, do you remember? Does. Love is enough. Why? Because God is enough. And his love is faithful. So in the midst of Mary's human crisis, God provided just the love she needed. Pay attention to this part. This is you and me. Mary received provision of God's love that she needed. How did she get it? Through another person who understood and supported her. Church, that is often the way that God's love works. As we walk in his love, he knows just what we need. He brings support from other people around us. On the flip side, he often uses us to provide the love and support for others. Mary felt God's love through Elizabeth and her words and her welcoming her in. But then there's Joseph. His love needs were much different than Mary's. And anybody married knows that guys and girls are different in the love needs. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. There's Joseph, and he has much different needs than Mary did. See, back in Nazareth, in his pain and his confusion, Joseph decided he's going to divorce Mary. The pain of betrayal was just too much for him. He couldn't believe this was happening. And while legally he could have taken Mary to the courts, He could have had her tried and potentially stoned to death. But he loved her. He couldn't do that to her. But he also couldn't handle this breach of trust. And the Jewish law of the time allowed him to divorce her quietly so he wouldn't make a public disgrace of her. That's when, church, in this supernatural love story, God knew that Joseph needed some supernatural love. So Joseph, too, got a visit from an angel with this message in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. As Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Notice how God knew exactly what was at the heart of Joseph's hurt. Fear. Church, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And God gave Joseph the reassurance that he needed to trust Mary and her love, and ultimately to trust God and his love to make a way. See, their story is amazing, unbelievable, dangerous, supernatural, and ultimately triumphant. It's an amazing love story. So Joseph, what did he choose? He chose love. Even though the law told him he could choose separation and even possibly death. See, this love story, church, is beautiful because it is a reflection of how God loves us. And that he didn't separate from us. Even though our sins meant death and separation from a holy and perfect God, in his nature of pure love, he chose us. He chose us with the terrible price of his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God. John 3:16 in the New King James Version says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." See, the love of God with us is God's perfect love in human form. This is the love that knows exactly what we need, no matter what we are facing. I don't know what you walked with in this morning. I don't know where you're at, but God does. And there's ways that God can love you today. Sometimes it's from a person. Sometimes it's from a word. Sometimes it's from the word. Sometimes, just sometimes, it's supernatural. It's a visit from God. It's a touch from God. See, God loves us. And God's love is with us. It's here for you and me. As mind-blowing as it may seem, God's love is eternal and never-ending. It was, it is now, and it's always going to be. God will never stop demonstrating his love in tangible ways. Did you know that love is not tolerance? God loves you enough that he doesn't tolerate sin, rebellion, hate. God loves us enough with a pure love that he sets us free and he shows us the way. And sometimes, just like Bunny Fufu, pops you on the head. It's for all you hunters that are hopping through the forest. No, but that's what God does. Being punished sometimes is God's love, right? When I spank my son, I say, "Son, Daddy hates doing this, but if I don't do it, then I'm not going to raise you the way that God told me to. I can't have you acting like that or saying those things or being like that. You've got to stop." And I always hug him and love him. It's just like God. Sometimes steps in. Step in with an encouraging word or maybe a hard word, but it's always love. Maybe he steps in the supernatural. Maybe he steps in from the church, reaching out to the church. God will never stop demonstrating his love. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 says this, "And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, the questions Joseph and Mary had. Why us, God? Of all the people that have ever lived, why choose us to carry your son, to carry the presence of God, to take care of it and manage it, show people? Why? See, I'm sure your love story has twists, turns, excitement, heartache, and broken dreams. But I'm also sure it has some unanswered questions as well. But I want to ask you a big question today. Here it is. Here's the question. Who is writing your love story? Who's writing your love story? Does your love story have the supernatural? Does it have God? Does it have love? Remember, every life is a love story. Who's writing yours? How we read the Bible, how we see the Bible, will affect how we treat people. Maybe read it this week with the eyes of love. Maybe open it up with not judgment or anger or maybe even the law. Look at it with love. How does God love me? How should I love other people? What does God hate and what does God love? How can God change me to do the same? See, how we understand God's love will affect how we love others. So Jesus taught us in John chapter 13, or two verses in 34 and 35, he teaches us this. "So, now, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other." Right? I won't stop there. How are you supposed to love other people? Just like God loved us. So why do we keep loving like we want to be loved? Why do we keep using our love language to love other people? Why do we keep thinking that God judges us or hurts us in these certain ways? So that's how we love other people. Why aren't we loving like God loves? See, I'm telling you, a revival. God will touch lives in this community, in this state, and in this country if we really get what this means. How do you love other people? You love them like Jesus loves you. We're not so good at that, are we? See, your love, this is why this is so important. See, your love, my love, to one another will prove to the world. Prove. Did you know the world right now thinks that this is just another book? They don't care. They don't care that they don't think the Bible is truth. This is truth. This is a fact. This is just another form of truth. Another way to the mountaintop. It's not like maybe some of you where you grew up as a child where you all believe this is truth and, well, if I broke God's law, I know I'm in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. You just assumed you're rebellious. Think about it. Sanctity of marriage. We just talked about marriage. Is there a sanctity of marriage in the world today? United States? No, marry whoever you want. You think it's going to end with just homosexual marriage or whatever? It can end up with animals, robots. I liked Michael Jackson, and I liked the things that he did. I liked his performance part. But did you know that even Michael Jackson was in love with the monkey that he loved? That if it was allowable, he probably would have married it. You think that's preposterous? It's not. It's around the corner. If we don't start loving people like they're supposed to be loved, so that way we can prove that this is truth. Another slap in God's face. Now, I'm not doing this out of judgment. I'm doing this out of truth. Is, I could be a boy or a girl. That you're literally telling God that he didn't choose correctly. You're literally saying, you are wrong, God. I'm going to be who I want to be. No, you're supposed to be who God created you to be. I don't care what you cut off or whatever you do. I don't care whatever you do. The X and Y chromosome or the X and X chromosome is deep within you. So far deep that's even deeper than that is God's love. Amen. So how do we love people like God wants us to love them? Without judgment. Don't stand on the corner with your picket sign saying turn or burn. That ain't God's love. That's God's judgment. People must understand God's love before they understand judgment. Why are we so angry when sinners sin? That's what they're supposed to do. Hello, that's what you did. That's what I did. Until I know the truth won't set me free. But when I know the truth will set me free. See, we want the fruits of the Spirit of this world, and we get so angry that, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Whatever that means, okay? But where's God's love and God's people? See, your life should be a love story. And I'm not just talking about marriage or children or boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking about love at every moment, at every time. How do you love everyone? How are you showing the love of God? Where's your compassion? Where's your truth? When do you stand up for righteousness? When do you say, guess what? This isn't a popular sermon. But guess what? If I was invited in front of millions of people to preach this, I'd still do it. You know how many people would boo me and razz me and maybe do death threats on my life? But does that make it any truth? Or does that make it any less than the truth? It doesn't. But we've been so afraid to preach God's love. Amen? We got to live it. If we want this world to change, there's only one way to do it. Well, two ways. They're both pretty much the same. Did you know you are supernatural? Did you know that? Steve, you are supernatural. You know why? Because the Spirit of the living God that is supernatural lives in you. You're a temple of God. Everywhere that you go is light. Everywhere that you go has compassion. Everywhere that you go has love. Everywhere. Everywhere you go, you bring God. It's just up to you if you manifest it or not, if you show it or not. If you tell the world or not. You can shut it up if you want. God's love is amazing, and it sets us free. And I would have never known it if he didn't love me first. The Bible says that we know God's love because he first loved us. That every single sinner, every single person that's broken, everybody transvestite, every drunkard, every sinner out there, every habitual liar, every hurt person, everyone who doesn't want to deal with reality, every person that likes to embezzle money, whatever it is, God loves them. God needs someone to show up like Elizabeth did and say, you know what, you're going through a hard time, but how worthy are you that God is inside you, that God loves you? In the midst, everyone has left you. Your own husband wants to divorce you. He could kill you. They could chase after you and they could kill you. They could stone you. But God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Church, we got to show up in those dark places. Show God's love. Jesus taught us that the only way that this is going to be relevant again in this world, the only way we can prove to the world that this is truth and that we're his disciples is the way that we love one another. How does that look exactly? I don't know. But I'm not the Spirit of God. Listen to him. He'll tell you. Yours is going to look different than mine. When you leave today or even right now or even before the service is over, listen to the Spirit of God in your head, in your heart, with dreams, however he does it, the unction. You know, a lot of times we want God to just tell us what to do when he's saying, I want you just to step in that situation and as you open your mouth, then I reveal. But a lot of times we're so, I need all the answers up front. That's not how faith works. That's not how stepping into the Spirit works. You don't always understand it because you're not supposed to. If you did, it's not supernatural, it's natural. Hallelujah. Hopefully that set somebody free this morning. All right, where are we? See, God's love is eternal, it's vast, it's powerful. But in the same time, God's love is gentle, tender, and personal. It's the love that will make a way. No matter what we are facing in this season, whatever you're facing today and the days ahead, Ephesians 3, 17, 18, and 19 says this. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it may be too great to understand fully, then you will be able to be made complete with all the fullness of life, the power that comes from God. You want to have an incredible life, understand the love of God for you and for God's people. Church, love one another. Ask God to write your love story. At this time, I'm going to ask God just to show up in the way that he does, speak to us. I want to ask you another question. When is the last time you cried for the lost? This month is about hope. This is a hopeless situation for so many people out there in the world. We can get stuck in these warm pews, forget the hope of God for so many people that are broken. When is the last time you cried? You ran into somebody and something set in your mind and in your heart said, oh man, I should have loved them like I should have. I was so focused on my own stuff, I didn't love them. You know what's cool? Is I don't want to discourage you in that because I've missed it many, many, many times. What's good is God's mercies are new. And you just say, God, I didn't do it that time. Messed up, was led by my flesh and not my spirit. Will you please give me another chance? He will. He will. He will. For two reasons. He loves you and he loves them. Will you stand with me? Brent, can you come up, please? What's love got to do with it? Everything. All y'all laughing. When have you ever heard that song? Joking. Has everything to do with it. Church, I want to pray for you to go out in love. And I don't know exactly what that means for your life. But if you're not happy with the way that God has been using you, I want to encourage you something. Do something different. If the devil can't get you bad, it gets you busy. Can't get you busy, it gets you stuck. The worst possible thing on this planet is this: an ineffective Christian. That ain't you. So if you're stuck in a rut, stuck being busy, you're all about your own agenda, and you haven't stopped to say, how can I love other people? I'm gonna pray for you. Get unstuck. Right? Holy Ghost glue gone or goo gone. You got unstuck. God wants to use you in a new way. You gotta love in a new way. See, I'm not so good with words. Ask my wife. She loves words of encouragement. I'm not so good at that. I'd rather do services or acts for people. That's just the way it is. But I can't choose to do love the way I know how to love or the way that I want to love. I got to love people the way that God calls me to love people. Meet them where they're at, church. When's the last time you stepped into a dark place to show God's love? We like to hide out in the light. You know, light shines brighter in the darkness, right? Step into the dark. Shine God's love and His light. Today, if you want God's love in a new way, maybe it's in a way that Mary had, an encouraging word from another person, or God's word, or something that lifted her up in that time. If that's you today and you need God's love from somebody naturally, you're just like, I just need some sort of hope. I just need an encouraging word. I need something to go on. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in here just a moment. Now, if you need God to touch you with His love in a supernatural way, right? God still sends angels with messages, but He does supernatural things all the time. Maybe you need an angel in your life to say, it's going to be okay. Or a dream, or a vision, or the Spirit of God falling upon you, or the presence of God so powerful that you're like, I don't even know what's going on, but I know that God, right now, that You love me and that You fill me with Your love. I don't know what to do. I just know that it's You. If either one of those are you today, will you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Raise it. Raise it. Raise it like you need it. Okay? Two things. It's an international sign of surrender, but this is also a way to receive. When you want to catch something, you put your hand up like this. I got to get it. I got to get it. God, I have to have it today. I need Your love today in a new and supernatural way. I need it today. I need it today. Put your hand up if you need it. I need God's love today. If you don't have your hand raised, go to somebody who does. Put your hand upon them right now. We're going to pray for them, that God's love will show up in a new way. Put your hand on them. Go, church, spread out. If you don't have your hand raised, go, go, go. Get to them. Receive it. Receive it. Father in heaven, thank You for Your love. God, I remember that day in ninth grade where I showed up to a church, and because that church showed me supernatural love in a way that said, God loves me exactly the way that I am, I fell in love with You. All I needed was an encouraging word, an action, a step to say that I'm not a screw-up, I'm not a mess-up, that I'm not something weird or wrong about me, but God, that You love me where I was at and You love me enough to not leave me there. But I'm also thankful, God, for all the supernatural ways that You come. God, I had a rough morning. God, I wasn't in the mood to preach. I wasn't in the mood. But You always show up in spite of me because You're supernatural. Thank You for waking things up in me that are about You. Lord, and I pray that for each and every person in here today. If it's the natural or the supernatural, right now, by the power and by the presence of the Spirit of God, may you feel it. From the fingertips that are raised to the bottom and the soles of your feet, may the presence of God come right now. And church, everyone who has their hand on someone else, if God right now speaks to you to say an encouraging word to that person, speak to them right now. Say it to them. Say it to them. Just encourage them. Give them a word. Tell them something that comes not from you, but from God. A supernatural word of encouragement. God, we thank You that it says we bear one another's burdens, that we lift each other up, that we love one another. And God, we're thankful for that Your word is truth, that Your word is alive and active. And God, I'm thankful that You've set the church free for such a time as this. God, that we didn't live 100 years ago. We don't live 100 years in the future. We live now because You have a destiny and a plan for us. God, teach us what it is to love one another so we may prove that You are alive, that You are real, and Your love is truth. God, as we go, may we go in Your love. Thank You for all that You're doing. God, thank You for the opportunities here at church. God, we have a dove tree to love one another in a way that is tangible. God, that we have an opportunity for a devotional, that we can go and love our family by reading a small devo to them to encourage them and to build them up and love them. God, that we have an opportunity this next weekend to buy tickets to go to this fun, exciting thing, to come together and to love one another in a fun and exciting way. God, that we have praise and worship tonight to come together again and to love You and to love one another and worship together. What a blessing. And every Wednesday night, God, we have an opportunity to dig deep into Your word, to do what You've called us to do, and to be not just doers, but also readers, God, that we get in and You teach us what to do. Thank you. And Lord, thank you for all the outreaches of our church. Lord, just like you've put upon my heart, Lord, what is effective and what is ineffective? Teach us what's ineffective, and then we put all our efforts into the ones that are effective. God, I pray for this community, our neighborhood, three streets over, to the left, to the right, behind, and in forward of us. I pray that by the end of 2019, they will know who First Open Bible is, and we will show them the love of Christ. Teach us what that looks like. May we be disciples of your word. May we be lovers of you and other people. And may we recognize that we are to go and do the things that you've called us to do, that you've commissioned us. Teach us what that looks like. God, I pray for this community. I pray for this city, this county, this state, and this country. Pray for revival in God's church. I think what revival looks like is people on their knees in love with Jesus. And then what revival looks like is people standing up in love with the lost. May your Spirit come, put us on our knees, and teach us what to do when we get back up on our feet. We love you and we thank you. And as we go today with song and encouraging one another in love, speaking to one another, and even a supernatural love that may come upon us, may we go. Prove to the world that you are real and that your love is real. We love you and we thank you for this time. And we do this in the mighty name, in the great name, in the powerful name, in the name of the Lamb of God, the name that sets us free, the name of truth, the name that redeems all mankind, the name that is our healer, our savior, our refuge, and our fortress. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Church, sing as we go out. We love you.